Chapter 19. Located a mere kilometer from the Galactic Justice Center, the blockhouse across the Skylane was hardly secret. It did not appear on any public list of government addresses, but it was a 100-story monolith shoved into a long line of elegant stone and mere steel spires, with permacrete walls and purple cam bubbles that openly hinted at its fortifications. The only concession to style was a smattering of dash-shaped viewports scattered across its gray face in globe-shaped clusters that were probably meant to suggest a star and its planets. "GAS is better than this," Jaina said. Along with Mirax Horn and a handful of Jedi Masters, she was standing in the lobby of the Palam Grazer office tower, ostensibly waiting for an appointment with a Nymoidian lobbyist whose name she had selected at random from the building directory. "Why not hang a sign out front that says Secret Prison?"
"Dala wants people to know she keeps a secret prison."
As Saba spoke, her slit-pupiled eyes remained fixed on the blockhouse across the Skylane.
"The Shenbit shows its teeth to frighten, not to kill."
"Psychological deterrence," Kip Duren agreed.
He had prepared for their mission by carefully gel-styling his hair and donning a steam-pressed formal robe, but the effect was ruined by a 2-day beard stubble starting to show gray.
"Dala wants the lobbying industry to know they could disappear into some place like that if they're working for the wrong people."
"That would certainly explain its location,"
Silgal agreed. The Mon Calamari rolled a bulging eye around to look at Jaina.
"You are certain this is where Valen and Gisela are now?"
"It's where the new incarceration order said they were being..." Jaina nearly said stored, but when she saw the flash of pain in the eyes of both Horns, she decided it would be better to avoid any term associated with being frozen in carbonite. "Held. From what I can tell, Dala seems to be trying to do everything by the book with this Jedi court of hers, so I don't think she would have had the records falsified."
"This one agrees."
Saba finally looked away from the blockhouse, then asked Jaina,
"Do you have the writ?"
"Yes." Jaina produced a flimsy tube from inside her robe and held it out. "Here you go."
"No, keep it."
Saba flicked a talon toward the blockhouse.
"Your plan, your hunt."
"Okay, thanks, I think," Jaina said. Actually, the plan was more Jag's than hers, but Jaina knew better than to reveal that to the Masters. They all professed to understand Jag's reason for not mentioning that Dala was going to hire a company of Mandalorians, but they were still irritated. In fact, they had barred him from entering the temple due to possible conflicts of interest. And while they had not actually instructed Jaina to stay away from Jag, they had made it clear that she needed to re-examine where her priorities lay, and to think about whether marriage to the Imperial Remnant's head of state was a realistic possibility for a Jedi Knight. Jaina was, of course, hoping to convince them that it was, and a good outcome today would certainly help her cause. She slipped the writ back into her robe, then turned to Corrin and Mirax Horn. The Horn's anguish was evident in the purple crescents that hung beneath their eyes.
Mirax's black hair was uncombed and dirty, and the jaw beneath Corrin's tangled beard was clenched so tight he was probably in danger of breaking teeth.
They were the one weak spot in her plan, Jaina knew. She was asking a lot by expecting them to remain calm and under control while they stood looking at their children frozen in carbonite, but they were both people of extraordinary emotional resources. Corrin was a Jedi Master who regularly made decisions that placed dozens of Jedi Knights, including his own children, in harm's way. And Mirax was, quite simply, Booster Tarek's daughter. That fact alone suggested that Dala had no idea of the kind of storm she had brought down on herself when she decided to freeze the Horn's children in carbonite.